The question before us tonight is, how can I be sure of a new start? How can I be sure of a new start? Did you notice the form of the question, which I've just put to you? It doesn't ask, how do I feel sure? But how can I be sure? Assurance in our salvation is a great confidence booster for the true born-again Christian. If you return to the commentaries and Bible dictionaries, you would find many, many descriptions there describing this whole topic of assurance. I've just picked out two, just to put them to you tonight. One by Derek Prime. Derek Prime says this. He says, by the conviction we have from the Holy Spirit, through our obedience to the gospel, that we are children of God and heirs of eternal life. The genuineness of this conviction is demonstrated by right belief in Christ, righteous conduct, and love for other Christians. Another commentator puts it like this. Assurance is the believer's immovable, inborn conviction that by faith he is in possession of a salvation in which he will be eternally kept. The Christian life, the experience of the Christian life, is not a mere matter of feeling. It is a matter of reality. It's something to do with the word to be. So we can rightly ask, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? We would be very foolish if we were to see that assurance was just a matter of an emotion, a matter of a feeling. I expect most of us have heard people when we've been talking about Christian things and we've said that we are a Christian and we discuss Christianity with them. They say, well, I feel I've been saved. Or I believe I'm a Christian. Or I'm not sure if I'm converted. So often we hear phrases like that. People who are not sure whether they are a born-again believer. Some years ago now, my wife had a very close college friend, and she lived locally, and she came along to church with us very regularly. And one day she was converted, and she continued to attend church. She went to baptismal classes and was baptized, and she made her stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and was going on very well. But then after a number of years, she took up with a girl from another church. And in talking with this girl said to her that to say that she was a Christian and be definite about it was presumption. But it was wrong to say that she was a Christian. She hoped she was a Christian, would be the thing that she was to say. Well, our friend from that time took on that attitude of heart and mind, and somehow it affected her Christian life. She no longer had a confidence in the Lord. And she began to, well, drift a bit. She wasn't sure. She started not coming quite so regularly to church. And finally, she moved off from our church to go to this church where this other friend was going. And we lost touch with her in the end. We believe that originally, yes, she was saved. She did come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord. So we are positive that the Lord's hand was upon her. And even though she'd been wobbly, even though perhaps she was backsliding, the Lord would bring him back, bring her back to himself. And so many people are like that. Many feel that they've been saved, but they lack the conviction that they really can say, I know the Lord, he is my saviour, and I'm saved, and I'm on the way to heaven. Perhaps we could liken it to those treacherous sort of sandbanks that lie beneath the sea. They're constantly forming and reforming and changing. They give no security whatsoever. And if we haven't got assurance in the Lord, we have that lack of security in our lives. There's an old verse that I found that goes something like this. It says, it is written, here I rest my faith, not on thought, not on feelings, but on what Jesus says. And that's what we need to do. Not rely on our thoughts, not to rely on our feelings, but to see what Jesus says to us in his word. Now, I want you to be very clear in your minds that you can lack assurance in your salvation. But if you've repented of your sin, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are saved whether you feel it or not. The fact that you perhaps say, yes, I'm not sure, doesn't mean that you're not saved. It just means that you lack security. You haven't taken on board what the Lord Jesus Christ says. In fact, Spurgeon says this. He says, full assurance is not essential to salvation, but is essential to satisfaction. Full assurance is not essential to salvation, but it is essential to satisfaction. Assurance is a jewel in the Christian's life, and it's worth striving for. It's worth obtaining that confidence, that security in knowing that you are the Lord's and that you belong to him, and he will not let you go. Somebody recently gave me this illustration of a person who was saying that they weren't sure about being sure about the fact that they were a Christian. And this person said to this other person, "What one time you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were a corpse spiritually. Does a corpse have any feeling? Does a corpse have any conviction? Does a corpse want to know where it's going?" And the person, "Well, no, the corpse is dead. There's no life whatsoever." At one time, this person said to the other, "You were dead like that. But now, you desire salvation. Now you want God. You want to be with him." So if you've moved, as we saw last week, from being dead in trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ, then you now have an interest in Christ. You now belong to him and you want to belong to him. You're no longer a dead corpse. So even though you might not feel it, you have that assurance. Yes, it's a jewel in the Christian life, and it's worth striving for. So let's have a look at this jewel for a moment or two. And firstly, let us look at the true source of security and assurance by asking the question, what can I base my assurance on? Let us be absolutely clear from the outstart that assurance is not found in ourselves, but in what God has done for us. It's important, therefore, that we put our confidence in the right place. In the right place. Let's move into the world for a moment. There are people who invest their money in a business or in a business project. Some investment. They put their money into it. Their confidence at that time is strong. They feel, yes, if I put my money there, it'll grow and I'll get a good return. But it goes pear-shaped. And they lose it. They lose all that they've put in. They lose their investment. Now, it's far more important in eternal affairs, in our spiritual life, that we place our future, our destiny, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have confidence to put it in the right place. So let us see, first of all, where assurance is not found. You've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've trusted in him. You've repented of your sin. And you put your faith in him. You've started to pray. You've started to read God's word. You've started to grow in the Christian life. You're being taught Sunday by Sunday in church and in Bible studies. But still you have a nagging feeling, a nagging question in your mind. How can I be sure? How can I be sure? And some people can be very negative over it. You see, being sure does not depend on what we are. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, he tells us very clearly that our goodness, our righteousness, our efforts, as it were, are as filthy rags. He says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. What does this mean? It means that our goodness is rubbish. Rubbish. Even though we don't want to admit it, Jesus reminds us that out of our hearts come evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual impurity, theft, false testimony, slander. We find that in Matthew chapter 15. Even though we are God's children, even though we belong to him, we dare not trust ourselves. We must not trust in our own goodness. It's filthy. It's no good. No good whatsoever. We can't trust it. It definitely will not do. We must not trust in our own goodness, in what we are. You see, we can make firm resolutions, can't we, to start in the Christian life, to start a new life. But if we do it in our own strength, we will not keep it. We might be joyful for a time, thrilled that we've made it, perhaps overjoyed. But if it's only a resolution made in our own strength, we can be fearful. No, we can be sure, I believe, that it cannot last. Do you remember the parable of the sower? Remember the one who, the seed that fell on the rocky places? Well, our Lord says, that's the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, what happens? It lasts only a short time. There's no depth there. And there's no depth in our own efforts. Further, we cannot find our assurance in anything that we hope to become. Paul makes a wonderful statement in his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, and in the ninth chapter, where he says that God is able to make all grace abound to us. Therefore, he says, we may confidently hope that grace, by grace, we shall become the men and women we long to be. Yes, as we walk with the Lord, we will, by his grace, grow spiritually. But we mustn't trust in our own prospects, that we may base our present assurance in such things as that. We must base our assurance upon the grace of God. We've been saved by grace, as we saw last week. It's God who has saved us through his grace working in our lives. And it's that we trust in. We have to be secure upon the rock before we can grow. Like the seed that was sown into the good soil. The roots are put down firmly to obtain substance by which to grow. And when we're drawing upon what the Lord is doing for us and has given to us, then we grow. But if we are trusting in ourselves, if we're trusting in what we hope to become, there's no depth in that soil. And we'll soon wither and die. What's more, we cannot find assurance in anything that we are trying to do. Paul said, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. To his Jewish readers then, Paul was saying, look, the works of the law, your slavish obedience to the practices of the Jewish religion, it won't get you anywhere. All right, those practices of course have no appeal to us today. But you know, we still have slavish attitudes, don't we? We put our confidence in the fact sometimes that we go to church. We mix with Christians. We read the Bible. We pray. We do things like that instead of putting our confidence in the Lord. To go back to that passage that we looked at last week, Ephesians chapter 2, where our Lord said, it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. If we are boasting, if we are trusting in our own works, then we're not trusting in the grace of God. So there we have it. We've not worked for it. We've not earned it. It is the gift of God. Our salvation comes from our God. And it's in that that we have to have our confidence. So, we have to be sure in Christ, but not in what we are. Not in what we hope to become. Not in what we are trying to do. Our assurance must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we saw last week, when we are born again, we look away from ourselves and we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ used on two occasions, he used a child to illustrate what it means to put our trust in the Lord. He says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. A small child puts its complete trust in its parents. It does it instinctively. It trusts mum and dad. Only while we are looking to Christ, in the simplicity that a child has, the trust the child has in its parents, do we have peace and assurance. Do you remember when Peter got out of the boat to walk on the Sea of Galilee? While he was looking to the Lord, he walked on the water. But as soon as he took his view his sight away from our Lord and look to the rough sea. So he began to sink. And as soon as we take our eyes off the Lord and we trust in ourselves, confident in what we can do, we start to lose our way in the Christian life. Assurance in the Lord is something that is very blessed to us. Shortly we're going to sing that wonderful hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Is our assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we trusting in him? Jesus is mine. Can you say that? Everything is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us by bearing the punishment for our sin, freeing us from its guilt. I had a friend of mine who greatly put his confidence in his father. And very, very often he used to keep referring to my dad. My dad says this, my dad did that, my dad. He had great confidence in his father. Have we a great confidence in our Lord? He went to the cross of Calvary. And there he suffered and he died, bearing the punishment for our sin. He freed us from the guilt of sin. He paid the price. And when we come to him and put our faith and trust in him, having repented of our sins, it's all washed away. Our sins are washed away. We become clean in God's sight. God has accepted us on account of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us at Calvary and the fact that we have accepted it. We call these two things atonement and justification. In Christ's suffering on the cross for us, he atoned for our sins. He paid the price. He bore the punishment that we should have received. In accepting this and trusting in what Christ has done for us at the cross, we have been justified in God's sight. As we often say, God sees us just as if we had never sinned. Because our sins have been laid on the Saviour, covered by his blood. We are now clothed in his righteousness, not in the filthy rags of our unrighteousness. He's promised that when we put our faith in him, when we repent of our sin, then we are saved. And God has given us his unbreakable promise. He's promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We must always keep this in mind. God does not break his promises. God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. One commentator, Sinclair Ferguson, says this: faith alone justifies, through Christ alone. Assurance is the enjoyment of that justification. We can have assurance in our salvation because we have been justified through Christ's atoning work for us. We have been saved. If you ask me on what grounds I am sure of my salvation today, I will reply that it is solely because I have acknowledged my need as a sinner, that I've repented of my sin, that I've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's promised me that all that the Father gives, the Lord Jesus Christ will come to him. And whoever comes to him, he will never drive away. I've been saved. I know the Lord Jesus as my Saviour. And he will never drive me away. He will never reject me. He'll never turn his back on me. He is there. He's constantly with me. My trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. And when I put my trust in him, when I believe in his name, he keeps his promise to save me and to bring me one day into his glory. We also have in our hearts the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Paul says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We find that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. I don't think here that Paul has in mind some mystical small voice saying that we are saved. But perhaps he's referring here to the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Are we living a Christian life? Do we love the Lord? Are we walking with him? Are our lives changed? Are we a new creation in the Lord Jesus? You see, it's not a matter of experience. It's a matter of trusting in him. God's Spirit works in our hearts, convincing us that we know and love the Lord and that we are walking with him. We are his. We belong to him. There's a line in a hymn which goes, I am his and he is mine. Can you say that? That you really know and love the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? There's some people who look for thrills in the Christian life in order to keep them going. But we're not promised thrills. But we are promised the awareness of God's love in our lives. Does the love of God overwhelm you? Are you putting yourself in his hands? Are you really trusting in him? Are you really knowing and experiencing his love in your life? Has your life been transformed from what you were before you became a Christian? Are you a new creation in him? I close by giving you an illustration. I read this story once. A young man once was seeking assurance of salvation. He wasn't sure that he believed in God. In fact, his doubts were quite serious. And he mentioned this to an elderly Christian one day, somebody who'd been a Christian for many, many years. And this Christian was able to read this young man's heart like an open book. And the Christian asked a number of questions. And in reply, the young man said that he could feel. He couldn't feel that he'd been saved. He wanted to know that he was a Christian. But he only felt. He didn't know. To which the elderly Christian, promptly replied, and very wisely, that he was putting the cart before the horse. It's not a matter of feeling. He said if he believed in God, that he was saved by God, then he would know that he was saved. If he really believed. If he believed that God had saved him, then he knew that he would be saved. Paul says in Romans chapter 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him. In the passage that we read together there in John's first epistle in the 5th chapter, John gives us a very good word of advice. He says, this is the testimony, verse 12. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. So if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then we have life. He who does not have the Son of God, does not have life. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. if you know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You have the Son. If you don't believe that, then there's no life in you. But if you believe in the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. Is that your experience tonight? Do you know and love the Lord Jesus? If your trust is in him, you may know that you have eternal life.